one whom I have known over some 30-some years. When we first met, our children were small. And now, my grandchildren, some of them are grown. So that's been a long time. Amen. I can say this about Elder Nickerson. He loves the Lord. I say this because he loves the Word. You cannot say you love the Lord and you don't love the Word. It's amazing how we always put time limit on the preaching. They can go to church, they can sing, and they can shout, and they can do all of the other things that they do, and then they want to come up and say, you know, 30 minutes is long enough for a good sermon, it's too long for a bad one, and everybody just took that, la, 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 la. No. You need to learn what's in this grace contract. At this time, let us receive Elder William R. Nickerson, who shall come before us with the gospel of the grace of God. Let us receive him with a very hearty amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Pastor. I'd like to start off with a prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for giving me the strength to come today to preach the gospel. And we pray for everybody that's here and for those that are on the way or that cannot make it today. We ask you to bless them also. Touch our hearts, our minds, our souls, and our bodies as we go into the Word today. In the wonderful, precious name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Today we're going to come from the book of Romans, the fourth chapter. And 23rd verse to, I'll read it. Okay. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also whom it shall be imputed if we believe on him and raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. For it was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. Chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulations work in patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. When we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure a good man some would dare to die. But God commended his love towards us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by death of his Son. Much more being reconciled, we have saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. the I won't be able to get through all of these today, but just wishful thinking. The text that we're going to look at today, justification means just as though we have never sinned. The sinner obtains this in the brotherhood of Christ Jesus. From out of this sinful past, by his acceptance of Christ, his Savior, by immediately becomes as he is, as his Savior, he immediately becomes a saved person in Christ. Old things are passed away. Behold, everything becomes new. This becomes much more clearer when the new recruit begins to dig into the Word and study the Word. This study will put him on or her, him or her, on a higher ground and want to learn everything about Christianity. The study about Christ can be insatiable. And we have to think about the fact that when we look at this message today, we think about where Christ has brought us from and where he's taken us to. And when we look at it like that, we see that we have a lot to be thankful for. And we have so much more in this justification and administration by Christ to us that we can see the clearness of the message and what he's done for us. The 14th fourth chapter and 23rd verse, written more because of him only, that was reckoned a win, but also because of us, to whom it was about to be reckoned, the ones believing on the one having Jesus, the Lord of us, out of the dead, who was delivered for our offenses, and who was raised because of the justification of us. And what you have here is that we look at the things of, I've come to, within the last 3 or 4 months, I've come to take this the gospel, the message, much, much more seriously than all of the years that I've been studying. And I just love the Lord and love the message. And we but we'll be going through these today, and we'll let you decide. But the thing is that if we could get Christians to really go into the message, the Pauline epistles, and really devote their lives to it, and not just go tip-tap in and out, roundabout and everything, we would have a much, much, much finer congregation of Christians than what we currently have. The 5 and 1 is where we're going to really start today. And I wrote the text, the Greek text, and so read the group from the Greek text. The interlineal. Romans 5 and 1.
We're reading from the book of Romans, chapter 5, beginning the first verse, Greek interlineal text. Having been justified, therefore, by faith, peace we have with God through the Lord of us, Jesus Christ.
Also the access. Oh, that's right. That's about Jesus Christ. Okay. The justification that he's speaking of here is we say is just as though you've never sinned, by faith, peace with God through the Lord of us, Jesus Christ. And it's when I was young and growing up, it was always curious to me when I'd see the old people say these scriptures and they would mill around and everything, but I learned a lot from just watching them and studying the Word. And he says here, having been justified therefore by faith, peace we have with God. And how do we have it? Through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There's no other way that you can have peace without our Savior, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And of us, Jesus Christ. Okay, so, I mean, the Lord of us, Jesus Christ. Christ is the capstone of all of this. And unless we have this, or know this, we're going to be in trouble. Okay, verse 2.
Verse 2, interlinear Greek text. Jesus Christ, through whom also the access we have had by faith into the grace in which we stand, and boasts on hope of the glory of God.
Okay, before we go to that, I want to go to Romans chapter 10 and verse 4. King James.
Now from the book of Romans, the 10th chapter and the 4th verse, King James Version. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth.
Okay, thank you. Everything is centered around Christ because he's the capstone of all prophecy and everything. And we've done a very, very, very bad thing. We take Christ out of the prophecy and out of the book and all the different things, and you cannot have a viable Christianity without the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you do, then you are marking yourself and the people that's serving with you. It's crazy. You can't do it. Christ is the answer. And I look at people that sometimes on TV and these mega ministries, and some of them, I'm not going to name any of them, but they preach everything but Christ. And I just don't understand that. I don't understand how you can preach everything but Christ when he is the capstone of all of it. Okay, through whom also the access we have by faith into this grace in which we stand and boast on the hope of the glory of God. By whom we have access, being able to get into and talk to. We have by faith into this grace in which we stand and boast on the hope of the glory of God. We cannot do anything without Christ. Nothing moves without Christ. Everything is around, centered about him. And when we look at it from the standpoint of that way, we see how things in this universe are run by Jesus Christ. And when we look at it like that, it makes it much clearer. It makes it much clearer. Then going and putting your faith in a job, faith in a foreman, faith in this and faith in that, everything is run by Christ. And when we look at it like that, it makes it much simpler. But people don't want simplicity. They want things other than Christ that they have to worship and honor. And that cannot go anyplace. The more you worship something else, the farther you are away from Christ. And it just bothers me to see how people can do that. And not only so, read three, Dick. Mm-hmm.
Now Romans 5, chapter 5, verse 3, interlineal Greek text. And not only, but also we boast in afflictions, knowing that affliction patience works.
Okay. And not only that, but we also boast in afflictions. And that affliction is on a state of mind, a troubled state of mind, a state of pain, trouble, distress, and that's all, and misery. So, not only that, but when you're a Christian, you have to pay by going through these things. And the less you know, the more you're going to go through it. But the more you know, you can relieve a lot of things that's on your mind. When you know more and know what the end of the situation is going to be, it makes it much easier for you to go through it. And knowing that the patience works, and patience is willing to put up with writhing pain. That's what the world gives us is a bunch of junk. And they expect you to follow that junk and be all happy with it and everything, but you have to take it upon yourself to know what the Word of God means and to study God's Word and give yourself over to study and study and study and study more and more and more. And the more you study, the more it makes you grow as a Christian. And you can put down all of this mess that people give to you and everything, because there's nothing but mess. Compared to the Word of God, it's nothing but mess. And I tell you that I've seen a lot of stuff now that I'm growing older and getting wiser in the Word, that a lot of stuff we put a lot of emphasis on don't mean a thing. Don't mean a hill of beans. But we put emphasis on it and everything, but it doesn't mean anything. You have to put your faith in God and live for God. And not only that, you get to the point where you have nothing in your life but God, and put everything else out of your mind. And when you do it that way, you feel a lot better. You feel a lot better about yourself than about putting things on, emphasis on the party over here, the message over here, and all this mess is nothing. Only Christ. Christ is what you should put your emphasis on. And He is the one who will deliver you from all this chit-chat and all this stuff that you're going about doing. Because a lot of us come to church and everything, and we say this and we say that, but when the next party comes out, we're ready to go to that. And leave the Lord. Well, I'll be back. The Lord understands. You know, I just find it hard to believe that when we grow in the Lord and we grow in the service of the Lord and everything, that we should be more emphasis in the Lord, have more emphasis on the Lord than just all of this mess that we put our emphasis on. Everything that we see here is all temporary. Wouldn't it be better to put emphasis on something that's permanent and what's going to be with us forever, what we're going to be serving forever, and what we're going to be forever, than this mindless junk that we put our minds on? All of this stuff that we put our minds on is all temporary. And it's not, you're not going anywhere with this temporary mess. Anything temporary, we want to get rid of it. And that's the only thing I'm saying. Verse 4.
Verse 4, interlineal, Greek text. And patience, proof. And proof, hope.
Okay. And a way of that proof, well, patience. One thing I've learned about the Word of God that has helped me more than anything else, and that is the fact that with God now, I have a lot more patience, especially with studying the Word like I do. I have a lot more patience than what I did before. Before, when I first started, I was Jimmy Jack Sheep all over the place. But now, as I grow older, and I'm studying more and more, it's given me patience. And this patience now is able to carry me through a lot of things before that would have just racked my nerves. I don't worry about things now like I used to, because it all will be worked out. And if you give yourself over to worrying about these things in the world, it's always something different. It's always something that you're going to have to be worried about. But when you give your mind over to Christ, everything in this world means nothing to you but Christ. And Christ will work out your problems. If you don't believe it, try it. He will work out your problems. And if you don't believe that, I feel sorry for you. And proof is a way of means of showing trouble of something, and hope. Teaching of the right will happen. Okay, but proof is a way of means of stairway to truth, of something that will help you out. And hope is teaching what you want to happen and will happen. But I have proof that God is who He is in Christ. I don't have to worry about what somebody has said or what somebody told me or anything like that. I have proof what Christ has done for me, who's delivered me from the different things that's in my life. I don't have to worry about where I'm going when I die. I don't have to worry about different things that come up where it would shake somebody else. I have proof that God is who He is, and it's through Jesus Christ. And I don't have to worry about that. And you should try to get to that same state. Don't let people, this whole worldly mess that people put up on you and all that crazy mess, it's going all to the side. All to the side. Get yourself in Christ. Worship Him. And He will bring all of the things of peacefulness and calmness in your life, and you're able to go on and on and on. I never had that when I was in the world. I never had that when I was in the world. And when I was a carnal Christian, I never had that. It was always about me. What was going to happen to me? But I come to know Christ. And Christ has come into my life. And He has made it so big. And where it was so small, He has made my life much larger. When I go to the youth home now, my ministry, I can tell those boys about things about Jesus that I know is a fact. And I can minister much more effectively now than when I did before. Because before, it was a bunch of, well, there was a lot of things in my life and everything. But the older I get, and the more I'm in Christ, things just seem to just fade away. And I'm so happy about that. I'm so happy about that. Verse 5.
Mm-hmm. And hope does not put to shame, because the love of God has been poured out in the hearts of us through Spirit Holy, given to us.
Amen. And hope does not put to shame. I'm not ashamed of being a Christian. I'm not ashamed of Christ at all, because He died for me and He gave me a testimony. And anybody who does something like that for me, why would I be ashamed of him? I love the Lord. Amen. I love the Lord, and I can't get enough of him. I love him. And because of the love of God has been poured out into the hearts of us through Spirit Holy given to us. And what I like about God is he not only says what he means, but he does what he says he means. He gives us the Holy Spirit for us to walk through this life. And what he does is when he gives it to us, it's a nurturing thing. And it makes us grow and grow. And the more you give yourself over to it, the more you become like God. Amen? Because he wants you to be that way. He doesn't want you to stay here in this world here and you biting your nails and you're doing all this crazy mess trying to identify with the world. This world means nothing to me. We're all going to leave it. And we might as well get prepared to leave it. Because we're not going to be here forever. It's just something that we ought to just take the time and just say, Jesus, I love you so much. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for doing what you've done for me, because you didn't have to do it. And when you do it, when you have that kind of feeling about God, it's going to make you live better. Amen. And the whole idea is you want to live better while you're here. You want to live for God while you're here. And the thing is that while you are here and the little time you got left, it ought to be something where there is a mallet coming out of you where all kinds of sin and things like that, you want to just get rid of it. Don't put the Lord down. And, you know, these old crazy Jesus jokes and all that crazy mess. You are a child of God. And that's who you should be worshiping. Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. So, because the love of God has been poured out in the hearts of us through the Spirit Holy given to us. If you saved and the Holy Spirit is living in you, then it should reflect how you live. Amen? It should reflect how you live. You should not be like a lot of people as well. No, you should try to live holy. You should try to live where Christ has came into your life it's not really a proper thing to say, but you know, but you see cartoons and where a man comes to Christ and everything, and they got a little broom to start sweep up your life and get this out, get out, get out. Well, we should have Christ should be in our lives where it's being all the little things in our life that brings us where we can't worship God right. We ought to have go into the Word here and let it sweep our hearts. Sweep it. Where, you know, well, there's a little spot over here, then get this up. And you know something? Yes, it's going to take a long time, but you know something? We know that and everything, but the fact of the matter is that, and we know that it won't all be gotten out, but we should make some effort to try to do it. When we do that, then what it does is it straightens us up. Little bit by little bit. But this old man here, the flesh, is so wicked and so cruel and so mean that you could spend 200 or 300 years trying to sweep it all up. You won't be able to do it. So God gives us a better option, taking us home. Amen. All this old mess about trying, I just want to get this right. You won't, in this flesh, you won't get it all right. You get part of it and then something else comes. Part of something else, and I'm sick of that mess. Verse 6.
Indeed, Christ being us weak, yet according to time, on behalf of impious ones, died, as Christ died.
And all of us, so on behalf of impious ones, died. And that death for me took place in 1957. And I've been coming back and back and back and back. But that impious means not pious, not having or having or not standing reverence for the Lord, wicked, profane, and no observance of God's word. And I thank God for him saving me. Every day of my life, I thank him. Because I don't want to be like I was before. I don't want to be like I was before. And the best thing that ever happened to me in this life was salvation. Amen? That's the best thing that ever happened to me. Take all this old mess that we put a lot of emphasis on and just throw it out. Because what we have is Jesus Christ. And that is the worst, that's the best thing that a man can ever have. When you have Christ, you got everything. Without him, you have nothing. I thank God for it. For it's amazing and a shame that how much, you know, what we do is we categorize, we do things that's crazy, and we think that they're kind of cute. But I don't think playing with God is cute. I don't think playing with God is cute at all, because he is the originator from the universe where he created us before anything else. And what he did was he had his manner of saving us. And his manner of saving us is far, far, far better than anything that we could ever do. He took it upon himself to bring us into fellowship with him. And all of the things that we liked about this and that and everything, he said, I'm going to put this aside. Let's put that aside. Concentrate on me. Give me your time. Give me the time that you work on other things. And if you give yourself to me, then I can do more for you than what you could ever know. Many, many, many people have gone home and never knew what the Lord could do for them. And I don't want to be that way. While I'm here, I plan to study and study and study until the day I die. I want to know more and more and more and more. More, thank you. More about Jesus. And if I know more about him, then it would make me a much better person. I'm not satisfied with myself at all. Far from it. I am not satisfied with myself at all. Every time I think I'm making a little progress, I look in the mirror and I see some other things wrong with me. And it'll be a lifetime endeavor of trying to make things right. But in this flesh, you'll never make it right. Because you got too many things that's pulling you away from the Lord. I don't care how far you grow as a Christian, there's always something pulling, nagging. Amen. And what it does is it just pulls you, it'll pull you away from God if you let it. Amen. But I'm determined that no matter what comes, I'm going to be with the Lord. And I'm not saying it boastfully, but I mean to stay with the Lord forever. And I don't care what comes into my path, I might go down. And I might go down where I don't know what I'm saying in my mind, anything. But I want to be a child of God forever. And I don't want anything to tell me. Nobody trying to give me anything. I just want to be God's child. Because he means so much to me. Means so much. And I thank God for him. I just thank God for him. When I think about where he brought me from to where I am now, I have a lot to be thankful for. Mm-hmm. I love the Lord. Okay, verse 7.
For hardly on behalf of a just man anyone will die, for on behalf of the good man, perhaps someone even dares to die.
Okay. For hardly on behalf of a just man will anyone die. For on behalf of a good man, perhaps some even dare to die. So what we're going to do is we're going to go to Romans chapter 8. And we're going to read that. I'm going to make some comments along the way. Romans 8 chapter. And we'll start with verse 1. We're going to read from the King James Version. We could read from the Greek, but I'm going to read for clarity of time. I'm going to read the King James Version. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. That's what we got to get in our mind to see. This flesh is nothing. It's a byproduct created by God for us to here on this earth. Don't put any confidence in this flesh. None. Because it will destroy you. Amen? Amen. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus had made me free from the law of sin and death. The law and the Spirit of Christ of life in Christ Jesus had made me free from the law of sin and death. Everything in Christ, the law of the Spirit of Christ, has made me free. But it's so much more powerful. But for now, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sent in His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, for sin condemned sin in the flesh. But what God did was He created us and He molded us, and the thing is that we were weak through the flesh, and what He did was God sent His own Son, amen, in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Everything was done by Christ in the flesh. Amen. He didn't take any other. That's what the Hebrew nation, when He gave them types and shadows of Christ. But Christ came Himself in His own body to rid us of our sins, and by believing and accepting Him as our Savior, that's what we have. That's what He. And you're right, D. That's what we have in Christ. We have everything.
Yes, we do.
Everything we have in this world is in Christ.
Yes.
But anything else is not in. When we have Christ, we have everything. Amen. That in the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. When you walk in the Spirit, you fulfill the lust of the law. So, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but spiritually minded is life life and peace. Everything in the Spirit is in life and peace. And this whole thing about the law, carnally minded, is death. And what does the world put all the emphasis on? Well, I tell you, the flesh. In other words, nothing. Everything in this life here, when people got some kind of things going on, it's all about the flesh. And the flesh is nothing. Everything about God is the life of the Spirit. And that's what's important to us. In these wicked, contrived bodies that's been fraught by sin and death and everything, Christ came
from above and lived like a man and kept all of the law. And what he did was he died. And then what he did was he brought us back from sin by the life that he lived. What more can you ask for? What more can a Savior do but give his life for you? What more could you do and say without having the life of Christ in you and giving you the option to live a life that's daily in the Spirit, in love and peace and harmony? No, we want to go and do this old boom, 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 boom. Oh, that's the dumbest thing I ever seen in my life. We have been bought with a price, the price of Christ's blood. And by him giving his blood for us and saving us, without the shedding blood, we have no salvation. That's what it's about. All this things about all this foolishness and everything that people are talking about, it doesn't mean a hill of beans. Let's go back to sake of time. Go back to Romans 5 and 8.
Romans 5, verse 8. Commends but the of himself love to us, God, that yet sinners, being us, Christ on behalf of us died.
Commands, but of himself love to us. God loves you. He loves you. Let me say it again. He loves you. Okay, and so God, that yet while we were sinners, being us, Christ, on behalf of us, died. Christ died for us. He died for us. He didn't come here to live for us. He came to die for us. And when he did that, we should be thankful enough that when we come into salvation, we should be just so happy and so engaged in Christ that nothing comes between us and Christ. It just amazes me how people can do what they do to Christ and what they say and everything about, you know, make jokes and all these old crazy things and everything, but Christ, without Christ, there would be nothing for us but hell. But he when he made us in eternity, he had made it so that I'm going to save this person, save that person, and I thank God for him saving me in eternity. I'm so glad he saved me. I'm so glad he saved thee. Amen. Saved the pastor. I'm glad he saved all of us. The whole church here, all of us here that saved. I'm glad he saved us. I'm so glad. Because where would we be without Christ? On the streets. That's not. It would just be to be without Christ. It would kill me. There would be nothing for me to live for. And I look at now. Now I see people where they will kill you at the drop of a hat, and they will steal and they will rob and everything. But all of them are not lost. All of them are not lost. Don't think because people kill and shoot and do all this stuff that they're lost. No, some of them are saved. I don't know who are, but there are some of them that are saved. But for me to live like that, it would just kill me to think about killing somebody or doing something. It would kill me to think that. Now, people make me angry. Sure, they make me angry. But to give my life over to a gun and where I would just go out and kill people and have no morals about it at all, where everybody just go, anybody come in my way or anything, I just shoot and kill them. I couldn't do that. Not with Christ in me. But you know something? Every day that I live, that thought comes in my mind. But I thank God for Jesus. I thank God for Jesus. Amen. Verse 9.
By much, therefore, rather, having been justified now by, or better, in the blood of him, we shall be saved through him from the wrath.
We've been justified. Mm-hmm. Now by the blood of him, we shall be saved through him and from his wrath. God is angry with the wicked every day. But through this blood, and me accepting him as the sacrifice of his blood and sending him as my Savior, I'm not into that. But the people who are not saved, that's bad. But you know something? We have been justified by God through salvation by him. And I want to go over here and I want to read some things here before I close. Terms of endearment, I call them. Justification. For a working man's definition, that means just as though you've never sinned. Amen. Just as though you've never sinned. I'm justified by Christ, and it's just as though I've never sinned. I can walk and do all these things just as though I've never sinned. Amen. Peace. Freedom from strife of any kind. I have Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and he's given me peace from any kind. Everything that comes on this earth and everything that's against me, I have the peace of Christ in my heart. That's what carries me. The peace of Christ. Because it's a forever going peace. I look at the science program, the pastor and I and Elder Liverman, and we look at these different science programs and all these different things that they got going on and everything. And every time, Pastor, I watch these programs, I'm amazed I just think about all of the things that's going on out in space and everything. And we're on this little planet. Look about that size. And everything is so much bigger. And we're on about the size of a peanut. And everything that we cherish and everything is just a little guy. In the past, all through the earth, all through the planets and everything, just a little guy. But I thank God for him enlightening us through this little planet Earth. And I look at the things that we see out here, and I said, my God, what a wonderful God we have. I mean, and there's things that's happening that we don't even understand and not even about to understand. But the thing is, when I see these things happening, I said, thank God for God. Amen. Christ, the mediator between God and man, Christ died for our sins. Grace, salvation. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. Salvation of mankind, for by grace are you saved through your faith. Tribulation, great trouble or misery, severe trial or affliction. The glory of God, great praise and honor given to a person or a thing by others. Righteousness, upright, conduit within righteousness exalts the nation, Proverbs 14 and 34. Reconciliation, to make friends again, one, to win over, two, to make agree, bring into harmony, four, three,
for to make satisfied, make no longer opposed. 5, to purify by special ceremonies. Romans 5:11, and that's the terms of endearment I wanted to read to you, because I know that sometimes I have all of the wherewithal to read them, but I get carried away and I don't read them, so I say I better do that right now. Amen. All right, verse 10, D.
For if enemies being, we were reconciled to God through the death of the Son of Him, by much rather, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by the life of Him.
Okay. We're saved by the life of Him, of Christ Jesus. And I thank God for that, because I couldn't save myself. None of us in here can save ourselves. And we ought to be thankful for God that He took it upon Himself to come and live as a man, walk as a man, do the work of a man, everything, but and then they laid His life down for us. That for lack of a better word, that blows my mind. That Christ created all of us and He had everything planned in eternity. Nothing happens out of eternity, out of what happens in eternity. Nothing happens. Happen in eternity, it happens in time. And I thank God for that. You ought to thank God for that. You ought to be thankful to God for what He's done for you. Amen? Because you didn't get saved yourself. It wasn't your good works that saved you. Any good works that you got, a good God gave them to you. But that didn't give them to you to save you. The fact of the matter is that when Christ died for us, He took it upon Himself to save us. And by saving us, it puts us in a whole different ball of wax than what's going on out here in the world. In this world, you might see anything. In this world, you might hear anything. But with Christ as our Savior, everything is by Him and for Him. And I thank God for that. And verse 11, D.
And not only, but also boasting in God through the Lord of us, Jesus Christ, through whom now the reconciliation we received.
Okay. And not only so, but also boasting in God. Now, if you're going to boast in God. You know, people, I've been saved, this, this, and that. They don't give God the credit. If you're going to boast in God. Amen. Is everything about what I did. But without God, you couldn't do nothing. If you're going to boast in God. That's who you ought to boast in. Amen? That's who you boast in. Boast in the one who's the original and the creator of all things. That's who you boast in. Okay, through the Lord of us, Jesus Christ. Okay? Christ is the medal for us coming to Him and coming to God. So we have Christ because God made it that way. And through whom now the reconciliation we receive. That means that we have been brought back to Christ God's way, not our way. You see, our way is, well, if somebody is a neighbor is down on a luck, or down, period. We'll go over and we'll say, well, this and that, and then we'll give them a little bit of something. And we'll say, come back and boast about what we did for somebody, all that. Doesn't mean it that way. With Christ, everything is about Him. And we should look at it like that. We shouldn't, the last thing that you got that you want to give, it wouldn't be any good anyway, because you're doing it out of a selfish heart and a mean spirit. Give it to God where He can do it. He's the one. He's the one that has done the right thing. When you do it that way, then you get the praise, but God gets even a bigger praise.
See, we got everything all messed up. You mess up like that, then you just everything is just all messed up. But I thank God for who He is. And I thank God for saving me. I thank God for saving me because I tell you that without God, I could do nothing. Without Christ, I could do nothing. I could do nothing. And I just thank God for Him. Just for His, I mean, for His salvation, His life, and everything. It just makes me so thankful that I have God as my Savior. Christ died for me as my Savior. And I just want to tell you that if you have not accepted Christ as your personal Savior, then you should do it. Christ is the end of everything. When you know Him, you know everything. And you don't have to worry about anything else. Christ is the one. And I want to thank Pastor for today for letting me speak. And I thank all of you for being kind enough to hear what I have to say. And I thank God for all of you. Amen.